it is April Fool's Day, Wednesday, the first day of April. 9:12 is the time, 46 degrees. Welcome to Sports Ticket. Wade and Dusty with you. We begin locally with the KBCA with their All-State teams.
Yes, those came out yesterday, and the Kansas Basketball Coaches Association All-State basketball team started with, we'll go 1A girls first team selection, Lauren Duber from St. John's Tipton. Also, Brennan Kirkhoff of Thunder Ridge was a second team pick, and Trinity Looters of Osborne, honorable mention on the 1A girls team. 1A boys, Steele Walters, a second team pick for Osborne, and Brady Pollen of St. John's Tipton was on the third team. And in 3A boys, Vincent Pollen was a second team selection for boys. So those are the immediate area selections that are on those teams, and if you missed any of that, or you want to see the full teams for that, also the Topeka Capital Journal, Wichita Eagles, Sports and Kansas All-State teams, they're all posted at one story at ncksports.com. You can find all that info that you want right there. Again, ncksports.com.
Vincent Pollen is first teamer in my book. I was kind of surprised.
Yeah,
he's second
too.
He's
been first team on every other one.
Right.
I figured he'd be first team on this one.
I don't know how he's not first team.
Yeah.
You know? But anyway.
The other ones are, you know, that kind of similar to where they landed on the other lists, and I was like, wait, I looked at the first team, and I'm like, wait, where's Vinny?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'm happy to see Brennan Kirkhoff get second team because she is a really good player
Some
people aren't aware of across the state, so it's good for her to get that recognition. So all that is posted at ncksports.com. All right, Cartier Jada has found a new school, but the question is, will he actually play at that new school? Virginia Tech is where he's going to go. Chester Frazier, former assistant under Bruce Weber at K-State, is an assistant at Virginia Tech. Okay. Jada, will he play at Virginia Tech, yes or no?
I think he will.
I do, too. Because he can't go overseas right now with COVID-19. It's not probably going to happen. His options are limited, so I do believe he'll play at Virginia Tech.
So he's going to enter the NBA draft and
without
see what
an
happens.
Agent, yeah. Which, why wouldn't he? I mean, why wouldn't he?
I mean, you got to do it, but I don't see the NBA being all like, yeah, you're going to go first round.
He won't be a draft.
You're not even going to be drafted. No, I don't think so.
No. He either is going to try to hook on with the team undrafted, or he's going to play at Virginia Tech. And, of course, what's going to happen is he's going to find out he's probably not going to be drafted and go through this and that and then go to Virginia Tech. To me, that's a no-brainer unless he absolutely hates going to school. Shane Southwell back is K-State's newest assistant coach. He was a grad assistant for K-State and then went to Robert Morris for a year. Came back, replacing Brad Korn, who is the new head coach of Southeast Missouri State. So Shane Southwell, at the age of 28, one of the youngest assistant coaches out there.
Yes, and very predictable.
Yes,
and
very predictable. Bruce Weber goes with people he knows very well. No surprise, like Riley said, that's what would probably happen. Major League Baseball, there's talk that they'll start the season. This would be kind of cool if it happened. I don't think it's going to happen. But if it does, what better day to start baseball than on the 4th of July?
Yeah.
Supposedly, America's pastime, which, by the way, it is past its time. It's not the pastime anymore. It's like, you know, saying that baseball is America's pastime to me is like saying the Dallas Cowboys are America's team. That is so, like, 20 years old. Because at least 10 to 15 years old.
Yeah.
Because football is America's pastime now. I'm sorry, it is. It is all about football. We all care about football more than anything in regards to sports. Not all of us, but I'm saying in general, people care more about football. College football, pro football, high school football, it's just the way it is. Whether you like it or not, that is a fact. Now, it doesn't mean that you're one of those people, but it is football, football, football. And then when you say Dallas Cowboys are America's team, when was the last time they made the Super Bowl? The Chiefs are America's team now.
Yeah.
They got the best quarterback in the world. So, you know, I saw the meme, hey, you don't have to worry about the Cowboys catching the coronavirus. They can't catch anything, you know, type of thing or whatever. America's team can't catch anything, whatever. Like, they're not America's team anymore. Stop it. April 19th is a big day for the sports world. You know why April 19th is a big day?
I do know why.
I'm pretty excited.
It was going to be in, like, July or something.
June. It was going to be in June. They were going to debut it during the NBA Finals week.
Yeah.
And during the playoffs. But the Last Dance featuring 10 episodes of the Bulls, Chicago Bulls, with Pippen and Jordan and Phil Jackson and Steve Kerr and Dennis Rodman. I can't wait. I wish they'd just start it right now and I'd sign off of the show. I want to watch it, man. I grew up with the Bulls. I love the Bulls. I love Jordan. I love Pippen. I'll be honest with you. I like Pippen almost as much as Jordan. I still think Pippen gets a raw deal in regards to without Jordan, Pippen isn't. I'm like, you know what? Without Pippen, Jordan doesn't win a title. It's as simple as that. Yeah. I mean, I hear so many people say, well, Jordan is the one that made Pippen better. And you know what? He did. He helped make him better. He drove him. But Jordan knows, and you're going to find out in this documentary, that without Pippen, You know, Jordan, I saw the promo yesterday online. You know, when you say Michael Jordan, you should talk. You should say Scottie Pippen. Because Scottie Pippen was an unbelievable complete player. Just really, honestly, Jordan and Pippen are the two best players in the NBA there for a spell.
Yeah.
Because Pippen was a lockdown defender, became a much better outside shooter. He could drive it. He's just a freak of nature athletically. And Scottie Pippen, to me, well, I love Scottie Pippen's game. And when Jordan, you know, all you need is the proof is in the pudding. You know, when Jordan retired that one year, the first year he was gone, the Bulls won 50 games without Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
Scottie Pippen was the star on that team, and you had Phil Jackson. Now, what happened was in the playoffs, Jackson decided to go with Tony Kukoc to take the big shot, and Pippen was offended. And I don't blame Pippen for being offended because it was supposed to be his team. And I mean, imagine Phil Jackson having Jordan on his team and drawing up a play for Tony Kukoc. Do you think Jordan would have taken that well?
Absolutely not.
Oh, no way. There's no way. Now
Jordan wants to dish to Kukoc and do
right,
it on his own.
On his own, yeah. Right. But they're drawing up a play for Michael Jordan. Jordan's not going to sit and pat on the bench, but that's what Scottie Pippen did.
Yeah.
And that is the thing that he regrets to this day. That was the bad thing that Scottie Pippen did. But I understand why he did it at the time, because he's like, Jesus, you gave me the baton,
yeah.
All right? I am the player. Jordan is gone. He chose to leave. I'm still here. I've led us to 50 wins this year. We did better than anybody thought we would without Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
And I'm a great player. And now it's the biggest game of the season in the playoffs, and you're drawing up a play for Tony Kukoc and not me. Now, I'm sure Phil Jackson's going, well, everybody's going to focus on Scottie. So I'm going to, you know, draw it up for Kukoc. And guess what? The play worked perfectly. Kukoc hit the game winner.
Yeah.
And Pippen was on the bench sulking. And that's what people remember sometimes about Scottie Pippen. But Scottie Pippen was an amazing player. And I can't wait to see that part of the narrative in regards to this documentary. And the Rodman angle, which I've already seen different portions of the Rodman angle with the Rodman documentary.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to be good stuff. April 19th can't come here fast enough. I can't wait to watch it.
I
and
wish
here's
it
the
was
thing.
Like Netflix.
I
and
me
all
too.
All 10 parts would
yes.
be there right away.
I was just going to say that. You beat me to the punch. I wish it could be binge-worthy where I could just give me all 10 episodes like I have on Netflix or Amazon Prime. I watch like Jack Ryan. Once you watch one episode, you just watch the
yeah.
whole season. That's what I want with The Last Dance with the Bulls. Instead, they're going to spread it out. Two episodes April 19th on ESPN. Then I think a couple episodes the next week and the week after, and they just kind of spread it out over 4 or 5 weeks, which makes sense, of course.
Yeah.
But I'm with you. I want to binge watch that, baby. I do. That would be great. NFL playoff system, 14 teams are in the playoffs. That's been passed now by the owners. The union, everybody agreed on the latest collective bargaining agreement. 14 teams in the playoffs, only one bye per conference. So last year, if this was in effect, the Steelers would have been at the Chiefs, and the Chiefs would not have had a first-round bye. 7 teams in each conference make the playoffs, so that means just one bye for the number one seed in each conference. 3 wild-card games in each conference, which means this is going to be fun if we hopefully have football by then.
Yeah.
Triple headers. On wild card opening weekend, we're going to have 3 games on a Saturday and 3 football games on a Sunday. Won't the entire economy shut down then, too?
Yeah.
For that
yeah,
weekend?
I don't know why anybody would complain about that.
I'm not complaining
yeah,
about it.
Some people, yeah, you're going to complain if you're the 2 seed and
yes.
in all of history you've
yes.
been able to get a bye and,
right.
and then the first round, or the not first round, but the first round bye and then the home game the second round. And then now it's just like, oh, man.
The number one seed now is going to be just so much more important.
Yeah, without a doubt.
And it'll be interesting to watch the next 10 years under the system, because that's what the CBA is for, the next 10 years. Over the next 10 years, it'll be really interesting to track how many of the Super Bowl champions are the one seed and how many aren't. Because
yeah.
you're either a one seed and you win the Super Bowl with a bye, or it's a team that didn't have a bye
yeah.
from now on. I personally don't like it. I'm okay with triple headers, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But I don't think we need any more teams in the playoffs.
I
think it was fine.
Yeah.
I think now you're going to have a 9-8, 8-9 team because they're going to play 17 regular season games. You have an unbalanced schedule because some teams have 9 home games, 8 road games. I don't like that. And then the next year they're going to invert it. I think that's a big advantage for a team that's really good one year. The next year it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like that at all. I think what they should do is 8 home games, 8 road games, and a neutral site game at a college stadium. Or, you know what I'm saying? Or,
oh, yeah.
or you play over in London, whatever. That's the way it would be even to me. I don't like that part of it. I like the 3 wild card games having triple headers on the opening weekend, Saturday, Sunday. That's fun. More football, yay. But one bye per conference, I think that is a major advantage. And we've seen it here the last 4 or 5 years that being a top seed with a bye is super important. We saw it with the Chiefs, obviously. The Niners made it. Now, there have been exceptions. The Packers made it as a 6 seed, won it all. The Giants have done it. The Steelers have done it. But it's been a little while since that's happened.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're the Chiefs now, you can't. I will say this. I do think this could be good for the Chiefs from this standpoint. I've been a little bit concerned already about how the Chiefs and how hungry they're going to be to start the season next year. I could see the Chiefs starting out 2-2, something like that, mm-hmm. and then eventually figuring it out and then making the playoffs and making a run. But if you start the year 2-2 or 3-3, your chances of one seed are very slim.
Oh, yeah.
So I think that's going to help refocus this team, and Patrick Mahomes, the leader, is going to say, listen, guys, we can't trip up early in the year. The pressure's on right off the bat, the sense of urgency, because we want that one seed. We should be the best team in the AFC. We get the one seed. We get a first-round bye, and nobody else has that advantage. I think that actually, in a roundabout way, could be a blessing for the Chiefs that they are going to one bye. Now, you could argue, well, come on, Wade. You know, if you have two seeds to get a bye, like the old system, that'd be a double the chances the Chiefs get a bye. Absolutely correct. And that's what worries me about the system as a Chiefs fan. But the Chiefs should be the best team in the AFC next year. Think about it. Who's better than the Chiefs in the AFC? The Patriots have no Tom Brady anymore, and the Chiefs are still better than them last year. The Steelers get Big Ben back, and I can't even see his face because of his beard, so I don't know how he's going to throw a football. But he's on the decline. Who's the biggest challenger to the Chiefs in the AFC? And the team everybody's going to say is the Ravens, and I'm not sold on Lamar Jackson for doing what he's got to do in the playoffs. And we'll have to see. He's got to prove it to me. Who's the next? Who's the other team you got to worry about in AFC? Tell me who the next challenger is.
That's it. That's it for me.
That's it for me, too.
Now, Houston traded Hopkins, and it's like, what are you
doing? That helped the Chiefs. Yeah. Yeah, and I wouldn't worry about Texans anyway because Bill O'Brien isn't the greatest coach.
Yeah, exactly.
But I think, you know, the team I'll say, even though Tyrod Taylor is going to be their quarterback, I think the Chargers might be the biggest threat outside of the Patriots. I'm not drinking the Kool-Aid like everybody does every year before the season starts with the Chargers. Here's why I believe this. The Chargers' defense is good. They got Chris Harris. They've added to their defense. Their draft, I'm sure, will be solid. It has been the last couple of years. And Tyrod Taylor is not a great quarterback. He's not a Hall of Fame quarterback. And I still don't know if Phillip Rivers is a Hall of Fame quarterback, but he has the numbers. But Tyrod Taylor is going to be a little bit more predictable offensively, which could be a good thing for the Chargers, and that is he doesn't make tons of mistakes.
Yeah.
So he's not going to throw four picks in Mexico City against the Chiefs because he's only going to throw the ball 20 times, and then they're going to focus on running the ball more. And guess what the Chiefs aren't great against, and that is?
Run defense.
Yeah. So I think the Chargers and the Ravens are the two biggest challengers of the Chiefs, even though I'm not really worried if it gets in the playoffs that the Chiefs can't beat Tyrod Taylor.
Yeah.
And I'm not overly worried about Lamar Jackson either. I mean, the Chiefs stay healthy and make the right moves this offseason. To me, the Chiefs should be the number one seed if they stay healthy, get the bye, and this will just add to their big advantage.
Yeah, if they play the right way and they do the right things, they are the best team in the AFC. I don't think anybody can dispute that.
If you're a pessimist, you're going to go, well, yeah, now we can't stumble a few times, and then we get a two-seed, and then Baltimore gets a bye, and we don't, and then we lose in the AFC title game in Baltimore because they played one less game. And, yeah, that could be the Debbie Downer view of it.
Yeah, I mean, you can't beat Baltimore and then falter and lose a game like you did in Tennessee last year. You know,
Those are
things you can't do now.
Right.
There's no leeway for that anymore.
So it will be interesting to see how this all plays out. I have mixed emotions. I like parts of this. I don't like parts of it.
I don't like more parts than I do like. Let's just put it that way. I like the triple header on
that's
wild
about
card
it.
Weekend, and that's about it. I just there's too much imbalance for me.
To me, it should be an even number of games. Either you go to the 18 or you go 16, and I think 16 they should have stuck with. But you know, it's all about money. We get that. And the players voted on it. Believe it or not, 23% was it of the Players Association didn't even take the time to vote on the CBA?
Yeah.
That's ridiculous and sad. Those people, what are you doing? This is your livelihood. You should have had a vote. And it was a close vote. Your vote could have changed it. They could have turned down the CBA had the other guys voted. So it was a close vote. But this is the way it's going. It's better for younger players, and that's, I think, what got them over the top. Extra regular season game. And you're going to have just one bye per conference, and you're going to have two more teams in the NFL playoffs. So we'll see how it plays out. Could be great for the Chiefs. Could end up, we look back at it going, oh, goodness gracious. If we had the old system, we would have had a bye. But now we're a two seed, and we got to play Pittsburgh at home in the first round. And so you know how I'm going to judge this whole thing? After this year, if it helps the Chiefs, I'm all for this, baby. If it hurts the Chiefs, I hate it. How's that? Oh, don't hate it. I tell my kids, don't say hate. That's too strong a word. Extremely despise it if it doesn't work out for the Chiefs. How's that?
Yes.
All right, time for our state championship week rewind. It continues. Monday was the Osmer football team from this past season. Then yesterday it was the St. John's Tipton Boys Championship in basketball back in 2014. And today, Dusty, who are we featuring?
Thunder Ridge Longhorns, 2011, their state championship run. They undefeated and beat Baileyville B&B in the championship game and had an outstanding outstanding group of seniors that year. You're going to hear that from Coach Jerry Voorhees, who's going to join us to start this out. And we're looking forward to this one. Hope everybody up there in Smith County and everybody else in Phillips County and everybody listening enjoys this one here today.
You know, one of the things I won't forget about that game is after the game when we interviewed Coach Voorhees, because I was doing color, you were doing play-by-play, and it was a fun game. And I knew a lot of Baylorville B&B people, so everybody thought it was going to be a close game, and the Thunder Ridge just punched him in the mouth. And they basically ran the same six plays over and over. And after the game, we talked to Coach Voorhees, and he basically said, you know, I know it wasn't like, you know, we didn't run a lot of plays. We had other plays we're going to run, but why go away from it when these plays are working? I'm like, we only ran the same five or six plays. We didn't have to make any adjustments. And I'm like, well, it's, you know, winning championships isn't boring.
Yeah.
But that's what you're saying. Well, I know it's boring. We only had five or six plays we called, but the other team can't stop it. That's great coaching. You keep going to the well over and over and over. You remember that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Coach Voorhees was a hoot, man. Absolute hoot.
I remember something different from when he came up and just popped me one on the backside when he came up. Well, he did it. I'm like, yeah, he sure did. He did that, too.
At least he didn't hit you in another spot where you go to a higher octave.
Yes, I didn't know you were my coach.
Yeah, right. He was a little fired up, and rightfully so. When you win a state championship. So we hit the rewind button, go back in the Katy Country 94 archives, back to 2011, Thunder Ridge B&B 8-man Division II state football championship game at Newton. And first up, here's head coach Jerry Voorhees.
Welcome back here on State Championship Rewind on Katy Country 94. Today's state championship that we're going back to is the 2011 state football title in 8-man Division II, where the Thunder Ridge Longhorns defeated the Baileyville B&B Falcons. And we're pleased to be joined by the head coach of that team, Jerry Voorhees from Thunder Ridge. Coach, it's nice to chat with you again. It's been a while. Going back to this team and just kind of reflecting on what you remember about this team, what is the biggest thing, I guess, that stood out about that group as you won a state championship there in 2011?
Well, we just had great senior leadership. We had a great group of seniors. We had a great group of kids. But, you know, we had six or seven seniors that played on both sides of the ball, and all those kids, for the most part, to grow up together and played all the way through. Just a great group of kids. It all came together finally their senior year.
One of those guys is actually the coach of the football team now, Joel Struckoff. And I think when we talk about Thunder Ridge football, I think one of the first things that goes to people's minds would be hopefully the state championship that you won. But obviously, Joel's scattered all over the record books. And I think everybody knows what he meant and what he did in his high school career. He's, you know, the most yards ever in the history of Kansas 8-man football, most touchdowns scored as well. But I want to kind of focus on something different, because I think what people might kind of fall back on and not realize about that team is that was one of the best defensive football teams maybe ever in 8-man football, wasn't it?
Yeah, we had an extremely good defense. You know, when I took over coaching there, we were actually still the Kensington Goldbugs. Me and Kirby Russ took over. He was my assistant, and you know, I'd never even seen an 8-man football game, let alone tried to coach it, you know. So I didn't know a lot about the defensive side of things. And Kirby did a good job the first two or three years there we had him, or we were together. And then we brought Brent Overmiller over, and I actually called Coach Barta, and I said, geez, I need somebody that can help us on the defensive side of the football. And he actually gave me Brent's name, and I called Brent, and we were very lucky to get him to come over and join our staff. And he did an outstanding job with our defense, and just a really good defensive mind, one of the best I'd been around. And I think we had, I don't know how many points we gave up that year just off the top of my head, but I don't think we let anybody score on us the entire district play, plus two or three of our playoff games. I don't think we gave up any points. So tremendous defensive team, and a lot of that was because of the kids we had. But Coach Overmiller, he did a good job designing our defense. And we did some things that were different that a lot of teams hadn't seen. We ran that 3-3, that cover 2. We played a lot of zone coverage. And then we did some different things up front with our defensive linemen, our DNs, and our outside linebackers that give some people some problems that they hadn't really saw before. And I know a lot of teams have since then have called and asked us how we did things. So you know, when you got coaches calling you asking how you're doing this or how in the heck are you doing that, you know you're doing something right. So, yeah, Brent did a good job with our defense.
Take me back to the state championship game. We're going to hear here momentarily the parts of that game. Just going back to this game against BMB, I know that you had emotions riding high. You'd been a state champion in high school at Smith Center when you played, and I just remember talking with you, like, we'd love to get that ring for these kids and have them have that opportunity. But as the game went on, what were your emotions like? And, I mean, you pulled away for a big win in that 146-14. What were the emotions like throughout the day?
Well, obviously, you're pretty nervous to start the day out. And then B&B got the ball, drove it right down the field. I thought we had an interception. We dropped the coverage right there early on the Hyman kid coming out of the backfield. But the Herman kid actually went up and made the interception. But that Hyman kid, he was really good. He just ripped it away from us. And then the next play, I think they score. So they jump out, and I'm like, holy cow, you know, do we belong here or not with these guys? And then to come out and put that drive together, I think that was that opening drive for us. I don't know how many plays, 17 or 18 play drive, and we never threw the ball one time. We ran the ball every play down the field and scored. And once we did that, I think our kids, hey, we can play with these guys. And then we turn right around, a short three and out. We get the ball across midfield and go right back down and score again. And then Trevor has that tremendous two-point run, you know, where he's tackled three or four times and kept busting tackles, and he finally scores. And then it just took off after that, you know. And you kind of get the feeling of, okay, we can play with these guys. You obviously start calming down. I mean, the nerves at halftime, I think we made some adjustments there at halftime and come out and run the opening kickoff back for a touchdown in the second half. And then you kind of feel like you kind of got things in hand. The one thing I do regret is we didn't get more kids in toward the end of the game to and get those seniors off the field. But we kind of decide as a staff, you know, let them finish it. They deserve to be out there and finish the ball game. We weren't trying to score. We're just trying to run the clock out. And so I wish we would have got more young kids out there, though, on the field at the end of the game.
Jerry Voorhees, the head coach of the Thunder Ridge Longhorns, back in the 2011 state championship year. Jerry, I hope you've enjoyed going back and talking about the game. Hope people enjoy listening to it. Thanks for the time, man.
Hey, thank you, Dusty.
And coming up next here on Katy Country 94, we're going to take you back to November 19th, 2011 at Fisher Field in Newton, the 8-man Division II state championship game between Baileyville B&B and Thunder Ridge. We'll pick up just past the midway point of the first quarter and into the opening kickoff of the second half, and then you'll hear the championship call for the Thunder Ridge Longhorns coming your way now on Katy Country 94 and our state championship rewind.
Again, the 1-yard line is where they need to get for a first down. They're looking to score at some point here as well. Raby takes the snap, gives the struck off, cuts it inside at the 5, dives down toward the 1. Very close to a first down. We'll see what the official spot is. He's down to about the 1.5-yard line, and he's short of the first down. A pickup of 3 on the play for struck off.
Huge play in this game. This will be the 15th play of the drive, Dusty, and you have to get just half a yard. You don't have to get the touchdown, just half a yard to keep the drive alive.
Half a yard for the first down as they have it at the 1.5-yard line. Raby will step under center. They stay with the same set. The I formation and the tight set. Raby calling it out. Takes the snap. Quarterback sneak. He looks like he probably has enough for the first down. We'll wait and see what the official call is, but it's got to be very close. I mean, they needed the 1, and he looks like he's right on the 1.
Well, the B&B fans are celebrating, but they don't realize that they could get a first down without scoring a touchdown.
Yeah, they're gonna measure this. The nose of the football appears to be at least on the 1-yard line. And first down, Thunder Ridge, just by the nose. Like I said, the nose was on the 1.
Yep.
That's all he needed.
Yep.
And a first down for Thunder Ridge. 4:22 to play first quarter. It's 6-0, and Thunder Ridge has first and goal from the 1. 4 plays to punch it in from the 1-yard line if they need them.
And you got to like Thunder Ridge's chances here to punch it in the way they've been going down the field as long as they don't turn it over.
That was Raby on that last carry there, picking up the yard for Thunder Ridge. First and goal at the 1. Raby hands it low. Touchdown, Thunder Ridge. The fullback, Trevor Lowe, gets the first score of the game for the Longhorns. And with 4:08 to play here in the first quarter. It's 6-6, Thunder Ridge and B&B.
16 play, 65-yard drive. It took B&B a minute 37 to score. It took Thunder Ridge over 6 minutes to score, but it's still 6-6. Now important two-point conversion.
Thunder Ridge, again, will be in the I formation of a two-point attempt. Raby takes the snap, hands it to Lowe. He dives forward, lowers the shoulder, and gets into the end zone for the two-point conversion. Thunder Ridge takes the 8-6 lead, 4:08 to play in the first quarter. And Wade, you've got the numbers there. 16 plays there for Thunder Ridge as they take it 65 yards for the score.
16 plays, 65 yards. They didn't have a huge play on that drive. Just getting 7 yards here, 8 yards here, 2 yards here. Of course, the big play, the fourth down and one just outside or just inside the 2-yard line to pick up the first down. You got Lowe running the ball well. You got Struckhoff running the ball well. But more importantly, you got the offensive line that is so far controlling the line of scrimmage, at least when Thunder Ridge is on the field offensively. And that was a big key coming into this one for Justin Cope, the head coach of B&B. In fact, it was his number one key. He said, control the line of scrimmage. So far, Thunder Ridge controlled the line of scrimmage, at least when they had the football. So this could be a situation where it's a battle of offenses. We thought about how great these defenses are, but also these offenses put up a lot of points. It might be an offensive slugfest.
4:08 to play first quarter. Thunder Ridge leads 8-6. This is the fourth straight year that B&B's been in the state championship game, and they won it in 2008 and 2010, last year beating Otis Bison. We bring that up, too. Madison won earlier, like you said, the back-to-back state championship. They're looking for the first back-to-back state championship in both classes since 86 and 87. B&B had a chance to do that 2 years ago, and they failed.
Lost by two to Quinter.
Here's the kick by Struckhoff behind, with that wind again behind him, and he kicks it all the way into the back of the end zone and out. And again, B&B will start first and 10 at their own 15-yard line.
What an answer for Thunder Ridge, though.
Yeah.
They're the challenger to the defending state champions.
Yeah.
They're the team with inexperience at state, and you get down just like that, two big plays by Cody Hyman, and you think, oh, no. And then you go right down the field, no panic whatsoever, and they handle things very well.
B&B with first and 10 at their own 15 on their second drive of the game. Thunder Ridge leads 8-6, 4:08 to play in quarter number one. Hyman gets the call, tries to get around the edge, nowhere to go. Dakota Foreman stops him in the backfield for a one-yard loss.
If you're going to slow down or stop Cody Hyman, you've got to get him early. You've got to get into the backfield, get penetration before he can get going downfield, because he's 6'3", 220 pounds. He's a load. He gets the momentum going forward. He's going to be hard to bring down, and even if you bring him down, he's going to pick up 4, 5, 6, 7, maybe 8 yards or more. Dakota Foreman shot through and tackled him, solo tackle by the feet, loss of one.
In the shotgun is Rottinghouse on second down and 11 at the 14, their own 14. They fake to Hyman on the play action. Rottinghouse looks near side of an out route for Matt Engelken right on his hands at the 20, drops it. He simply beat Zane Coleman here on the near side, but it falls incomplete. It's third and 11 for B&B.
Well, that's a big break for Thunder Ridge,
yes,
because Engelken was wide open. If he catches that, he gets at least another 10, maybe 20 yards, breaks a few tackles. Maybe he's in the end zone celebrating a touchdown. Yeah, because Thunder Ridge did not cover that route well at all.
Third down and 11 now for B&B after break at Thunder Ridge gets. Clock stops at 3:29 in the first quarter. Thunder Ridge leads our state championship game in D2, 8-6. One receiver to each side. Hyman the lone setback. Rottinghouse play action. Fankin looks to pass. Pressured, and he's going to be sacked in the backfield. Hey, Dennis gets in there to take him down inside the 10 and down at the 8-yard line. A loss of 6 on the play.
Well, a huge play by Kay Dennis getting the pressure. That's the key. It's Thunder Ridge. If you can slow down Hyman and you can get him into a situation where they have second down or third down along, first down is a key down for Thunder Ridge's defense. And now B&B faced with fourth and 18, have to punt it away.
Actually give it to him with the 7, so that was a 7-yard loss on the play. And Hyman set to punt it. Back to return is Blaine Raby right at midfield. Hyman takes the snap in the end zone, an end-over-end low punt. Raby's going to come up and field it at the 35, the 30. And still on his feet at the 25-yard line and all the way down to the 24. Great field position for Thunder Ridge to start their second possession as Hyman really didn't get what he wanted on that kick.
No, he didn't. Low line drive, and a good job by Raby. Sometimes you see a returner back away from that ball. There's nobody within 20 yards of Raby on a low line drive. That's hard to cover in a special teams unit. Raby attacked it. Great field position.
You've got to make the coaches a little nervous, too, though, the way that bounces on an end-over-end kick. But Raby did a perfect job of it. First and 10 at the 24. Struckhoff gets the call. Fast forward. Right about to the line of scrimmage. No gain on the play for Joel on first down. Second and 10 coming up with Thunder Ridge.
Gage Leishing, nice tackle, sophomore. He's hitting the play because of injuries for BNB. If you don't know yet, BNB without four seniors and one freshman due to injuries for the rest of the year, including their starting quarterback and one of their top, actually their biggest rusher of the year, and Mitch Engelken. Yet BNB has been able to get here really with relative ease to the state championship despite all that adversity.
And Derek Steinlog, he's a guy that's out right now for BNB as a senior, and they're definitely missing him a little bit this season as well, and Corey Holthouse as well, that in position that you talked about with Leishman getting some playing time as well. It's second down and 10 coming up for Thunder Ridge. High formation behind Raby at quarterback on second and 10. Low fullback, struck off tailback, play action. Raby looks to pass. Wide open is low out of the backfield at the 15, all the way down to the 11-yard line. A perfect play call for Thunder Ridge. Lucky for them, Raby got rid of the ball quick, an 11-yard pickup on second down and 10.
Now they're going to give him 12 down to the 12, so it'll be a 12-yard pickup on the play. But wide open, that's what you want to do if you're Thunder Ridge. You dictate when you're going to throw the pass. Don't let B&B dictate it.
So first and 10 at the 12 of B&B for Thunder Ridge. Again, they'll come out with the tie-dye. Raby with that low crouch under center on first and 10. Takes the snap, gives the struck off. Inside the 10 and down to the 7, maybe the 6. They'll go ahead and give him the 6. And a pickup of 6 on the play for struck off.
Well, just a quick burst there. You don't need a lot of room. Joel Strickup does not need a lot of room to operate. He's quick. He can just step on the gas and shoot through the hole, and that's what he did there, and he picked up 6.
Thunder Ridge leading 8-6 with a minute 33 to play. First quarter of our 8-man Division II state championship game at Fisher Field of Newton on KD Country 94 and KNDY. Threatening again with second down and 4 at the B&B 6. Raby hands it to Strunkoff, cuts it inside to 5 and walks into the end zone after a nice cut inside. A touchdown for Thunder Ridge, struck off from 6 yards out. And the Longhorns lead 14-6 with a minute 20 to play in first quarter.
Joel knows touchdowns. That's only his 125th of his career, an 8-man record, his 42nd rushing this season. And Thunder Ridge now up by 2 scores. Well, actually 1 score. That's why this 2-point conversion is big. They're up 8.
14-6 the score as Thunder Ridge looks to score the 2-pointer. Raby, again with the I formation, takes the snap. Gives to Lowe. He's met right at the line of scrimmage. Trying to bounce off and does. Still on his feet. And he's in for the 2-point conversion. You got to think that Coach Cope might say his forward progress was stopped. But, boy, Lowe just kept going and kept going and took it all the way in. 16-6 the score. What an effort from Trevor Lowe. 120 to play first quarter.
That was an incredible run by Trevor Lowe because B&B absolutely had him stopped. As you said, almost forward progress was stopped on that play. But I give a lot of credit to the officiating crew because you get in a state championship game, and really in any game for that matter, let players make plays. Trevor Lowe was not tackled. Last I knew, it was tackle football. He was not down. He continued to fight. He still had a little bit of forward momentum. They let the play out, the officials, without an inadvertent whistle, and he gets the 2-point conversion well-deserved because B&B had him dead for rights all the way back at the 4. What a run.
16-6, Thunder Ridge, and like you said before that play, that's the most important thing for Thunder Ridge is getting this one to make it a 2-score game right now. It's 16-6 Longhorns, and again, they got great field position that time and only had to go 24 yards for the score.
Well, they go 4 plays, 24 yards, as you just said, and the key was the defense set them up. They pinned B&B back. They got a sack by Kay Dennis. They had a punt from their own end zone, not a good punt. Then Raby, a good decision to attack the ball. It's bouncing on the field, brings it to 24, had the short field, took full advantage of it.
Joel Strunkoff tees it up at the 30-yard line, kicking off. Matt Engelken back to return. Strunkoff approaches, puts another nice leg into it. Engelken won't get a chance as it goes out of the back of the end zone. I mean, 3 yards out of the back of the end zone. And that stiff wind that's coming from the west is really helping out. And Strunkoff has not given Engelken any chances yet today.
Every kickoff in this game has gone into the end zone. It's been every team has started at their own 15 except for the fact that Thunder Ridge got the stop on the last B&B possession.
First and 10, B&B. They have the ball at their own 15, as Wade just said. This time they'll run with an offset eye in the backfield behind the quarterback, Roddinghouse. Handoff goes to Hyman. He's met immediately. Coombs with there. That was Foreman that made the hit. And a pickup of a yard, maybe two, up to the 17-yard line at second and 8.
Well, Cody Hyman, he was kind of low center of gravity on that run and really didn't have his feet under him to make a good carry on the ball. I don't know if he stumbled a little bit in the backfield or what, but he got a bad jump out of the blocks.
Second down and 8. One of the things you do consider with these teams is the different turf and surface that they're playing on as well here in Newton with this artificial field turf. Here's the handoff to Boosting out of the backfield. He has nowhere to go. Strung out to the outside. Cade Dennis was out there, as well as a couple other Longhorns. I think Zane Kuhlman was over there. Foreman, a loss of two on the play back to the original line of scrimmage at the 15 for Boosting.
But who made the play? Even though you just mentioned who tackled, but who made the play? It was Dylan Coombs. He's the one that shot through and got the penetration. And once he did that, Boosting had to dance in the backfield. He had nowhere to go. And then the rest of his team, the Longhorns, came through and made the gang tackle. But without that penetration of Coombs, Boosting doesn't have to hesitate in the backfield.
Impressive defensive effort so far from Thunder Ridge, especially on the last couple drives. We're down to 13 seconds in the first quarter. B&B will get this third down and 10 off before the end of the quarter. There's a snap to Rottinghouse, the I formation. Play action fake. He looks to pass. Engelken with his intended receiver. He had to pump and tuck it down. Almost sacked. Gets around across the 25. Still on his feet at the 30 to the 35 to midfield and lowers his shoulder and gets tackled by Struckoff at the 36-yard line of Thunder Ridge. What an effort from Rottinghouse all the way into Thunder Ridge territory at the 36.
29-yard pickup for Dustin Rottinghouse. And well, I tell you, Thunder Ridge had an opportunity to sack him way back inside the 15. Missed opportunity. We talked about Lowe with a great run. That was a great run by Rottinghouse.
Rottinghouse does a fine job at the end of the first quarter to give B&B a first and 10 at the Thunder Ridge 36. That's where it'll be coming back with the second quarter. After one, it's Thunder Ridge 16, B&B 6. Ready to start quarter number two. It's Thunder Ridge 16, B&B 6. B&B will start just outside of the 36 of Thunder Ridge. First and 10 here to start the second quarter. They fake the counter. The pitch goes to Boosting. It's on the ground, and Boosting got back on top of it at midfield. A loss of 3.5 yards to the midfield stripe. B&B has second down at about 13 coming up.
Yeah, lost almost four back to midfield, as you mentioned. And Boosting really hasn't had anywhere to go. I've got him down for 3 carries for negative 7 yards. Hyman is the focal point, and then Rottinghouse is going to have to make plays as he did just a moment ago.
Second down and about 13 to go here for B&B. Just inside of the midfield stripe. And the shotgun, two receivers to the far side, one to the near. Rottinghouse over the top, right in the middle of the field, turning back his Engelken. He can't make the catch. Kruger was on coverage, but he had gotten beat. It was right on Engelken's fingertips. He kind of just went maybe about a foot too far on that route with the pass going toward him, and it fell incomplete. I mean, it was right over the middle on a lob pass, and it falls incomplete. It's third down and 13.
Would have been a big play. That was all the way down at the Thunder Ridge 12-yard line, and Kruger had his back to the ball but did not interfere, and Engelken could have made the play, but it wouldn't have been an easy catch being shielded by two defenders.
Pass fell incomplete, so it's third down and 13 for B&B. Just into the second quarter with Thunder Ridge leading 16-6. On the third and 13 play, Rottinghouse in the shotgun, and the play clock was running down on B&B, so they have to take the timeout. 11:17 to play in the first half. It's 16-6 in favor of Thunder Ridge. Third and 13, B&B after the timeout. Rottinghouse to the near sideline, caught by Hyman, and he's knocked out of bounds at the 28-yard line, 1 yard short of a first down on third down and 13. 12-yard pickup on the pass play.
Well, an excellent pass by Dustin Rottinghouse. They had him in the shotgun formation. Thunder Ridge with coverage there, did not get any pressure. It was a quick route, quick out to Hyman, and once he catches it, he's tough to bring down. Thankfully, there was a sideline. Thunder Ridge will push him out. So now you have fourth down and a yard and a half.
Yard and a half. They need to get to about the 24-and-a-half-yard line here on third and a yard and a half. The handoff goes to Hyman. He has enough for the first down. He just takes it right behind center. It's forward to the just outside the 26, the 25-yard line, excuse me, at the 26. And it's a first down for B&B, a pickup of two for Hyman.
Yeah, just had to get inside the 26-yard line, and he has it just inside the 26 for the first down. So that B&B did what they had to do, short yardage situation.
First and 10 Falcons, and the shotgun against Rottinghouse. His left hip is Hyman, or excuse me, that was Hyman actually in the Wildcat formation this time as he takes the snap and has nowhere to go. Taking forward maybe a half a yard gained on the play. That was Hyman on the direct snap.
Yeah, I was told before the game that B&B, what they might do is run standard offense with Rottinghouse first half and then try to wear down Thunder Ridge and then go to the Wildcat with Cody Hyman. When you're 6'3", 220 pounds, you're a big guy to bring down. You know, you talk a lot about Wildcat, Tim Tebow a lot lately and so forth and so on, college or pro. He's tough to bring down. He can break tackles. But Cody Hyman, when you could put him in the shotgun, in essence, in the Wildcat formation, he's got that momentum going forward, and he's hard to bring down.
Second down and a long nine to go for B&B. Rottinghouse back in at quarterback. Trips to the far side. One of the near is Engelken. They fire to the near side. Engelken cutting across the formation. Gets it across the 10 and down to about down to about the 15-yard line. A pickup of nine on the first or the second down and about 9.5 yards. So I think he's going to be just short of the first down. We'll wait and see what the officials. Nope, they gave it to him. He's got just enough for the first down at the 15, just outside the 15.
Bubble screen, that's all it was. It was a screen to left side of the field, a bubble screen to Engelken, and well executed by BNB, picks up a first down.
10-yard pickup on the play, another first down for BNB, the first catch of the game for Matt Engelken. Handoff goes to Boosting in the backfield, met immediately by Zane Coleman, a loss of two, maybe three, we'll call it three, back to the 19-yard line.
Zane Coleman certainly has had a big year. He moved the middle linebacker after being an outside backer a year ago, replaced Corey Rogers, put on 40 pounds in the offseason, 96 tackles coming in, 5 fumble recoveries, 2 interceptions. He's been a big part of why Thunder Ridge has the best 8-man defense in the state.
Second down and 13 for BNB. They'll come up with a straight eye formation this time in the tight set. I'm at fullback, boosting a tailback. Play action fake for Roddinghouse. He looks to pass. Pressured out of the pocket by Coombs, and he slipped at the 21-yard line and slipped forward across just across the 20.
To put him at just inside the 20. That's a loss of a yard or two, but I think Roddinghouse missed an opportunity there, Dusty. Engelken was open to the far side of the field. He hesitated, and that's maybe some youth there as a sophomore. He doesn't want to make a mistake. He's not sure of himself. Tried to tuck it and run and flipped and fell.
Now, you saw the same thing that I did. Roddinghouse in the shotgun this time with twins to the far side. His right is Hyman coming in motion to the near side for BNB was Dieters. Here's the snap. They give to Hyman. Hyman gets it across the 20 and down to about the 16, close to the original line of scrimmage on this drive, but still a yard short. So it's fourth down and 11 coming up for BNB after the 3-yard pickup for Hyman.
Well, certainly BNB, and there's no knock on Dusty Roddinghouse, a very talented sophomore, but in these situations when you have fourth down and 11 or third down and long, you like to have your senior quarterback, Eric Herter, be healthy.
8:20 to play first half. It's Thunder Ridge 16, BNB 6. Fourth and 11 for the BNB Falcons. Two receivers to the far side. One to the near is Hyman. Here's the snap. Roddinghouse trying to screen pass, and it is caught, but well short of a first down at the 11-yard line. Actually, the 12 is where it was reeled in there by Boosing. A turnover on downs gives it back to Thunder Ridge at the BNB 12.
Well, that was a long drive that ended. It was interesting because Tyler Dieters was over there as well. Two receivers in the same area. Zane Coleman came on a blitz. He came untouched, but they had the right play called at BNB. It was just a quick hitter over the middle. But unfortunately for them, they didn't have enough time to run the route deep down the field to get a first down. So Thunder Ridge gets another stop.
First catch of the game for Boosting, but again, it was well short. First and 10 for Thunder Ridge on the top there after the turnover on downs. Quick pitch to Strunk off at the 12, cuts it back into the 10, gets it around to the edge. Has it to the 20, and knocked out of bounds at about the 21-yard line. What a run, but a nice hit on that far side. I didn't see who made it. Poor BNB, but Strunkoff was sent flying out of bounds after a 10-yard pickup.
Well, I'll tell you who made the hit. It was Strunkoff. He laid the wood on Engelken. He lowered his shoulder and delivered the boom, and that's what knocked Strunkoff down. But it was quite a collision, and Strunkoff got the best of it as he did not go out of bounds and take the easy route. He lowered the shoulder and ran into Matt Engelken. Pretty good collision there, and Strunkoff got the best of it.
We'll call it a 9-yard pickup. He's just shy of a first down for Thunder Ridge. 7:58 to play in the first half as the Longhorns lead 16-6. Thunder Ridge with second down and about a half a yard to go, maybe a foot, as Raby creeps under center. Still in the eye formation, tight set. Lowe gets the call, has well enough for a first down across the 25. Fights hard to the 26 for a first down for Thunder Ridge and a pickup of 4 for Trevor Lowe.
Now first down, you got to love how Trevor Lowe's running. Right there, he got met by Cody Hyman, and he was actually pushing Hyman back, which is pretty impressive. Going back to that BNB drive, Dusty, 13 plays, but they turn it over on downs.
If you're running that many plays, coaches are definitely going to think usually you're going to get some scoring done. 16-6 the score, 7:33 to play first half. Thunder Ridge with first and 10 at the BNB 27. Strunkoff gets the call, spins off a tackle to 30, across the 30 to the 31. Pick up about 3.5 for Joel Strunkoff on first down.
And Joel Strunkoff, 12 carries, 61 yards, and a touchdown thus far. Trevor Lowe, you know, he only has 6 carries, 17 yards, but those have been tough yards when Thunder Ridge has needed them in short yardage situations. And you look at it. What's one of the biggest keys of this game for both coaches? They talked about it. Control the line of scrimmage. Thunder Ridge is controlling the line of scrimmage.
Second down and 6 for Thunder Ridge at the BNB 31. Again, the I formation. Raby takes the snap, gives the struck off. Cuts it back inside at the 35, out to the 36, a yard short of the first down to pick up a 5 for Joel Struckoff.
Joel, very patient runner on that one. He just kind of picked his way, able to slither and wiggle his way for 4 yards, maybe five, and it sets up a third and one. If you're being, or if you're Thunder Ridge, you're thinking here, hey, we don't get it on this down. We're going to go for it anyway, yep, in fourth and one. So great situation and kind of a play caller's dream right now for Thunder Ridge.
Third and one for Thunder Ridge. High formation again. Gravy takes the snap. He gives the struck off this time, cuts it inside, right behind tackle, and it's enough for the, or just short of the first down, actually. They're going to come up, look like he had the yard, but then they come up and spot him right at the line of scrimmage. No gain on the play for Struckoff.
So here we go, fourth down and one again. We saw earlier Thunder Ridge pick up a fourth and a half yard on their first drive.
B&B fans getting on their feet on fourth down and one. 6:05 to play in the first half. It's Thunder Ridge 16, B&B 6. A big play coming up for both teams. High formation behind Raby. Blaine, on a long count, takes the snap, and Thunder Ridge moves.
Dylan Coombs, flinched, left guard, moves. That changes everything now. What do you do if you're Coach Voorhees? You're fourth down and six. You're up by two scores, 16-6. Your defense has played well. You can argue you punt the ball because your defense played so well. You can argue, well, we don't get it. Our defense still has played well. It can handle a short field. Interesting decision for Coach Voorhees here.
I would say at your own 31, up by 10, you punt it. That's what I'd say.
That's what he's going to do, unless it's a fake.
Struckoff is in punt formation for the Thunder Ridge Longhorns. Another thing you take into consideration is this wind that he'll be punting into. Struckoff takes the snap, boots it away, an end-over-end kick that gets high. Catches up into the wind, takes a nice Thunder Ridge bounce. Herman is there to tip it down at the one. Raby tips it back in. Nope, he was into the end zone as he tipped it. It was a great punt from Struckoff. Herman used that speed to get up there, tipped it at the one, but it kind of took a bad spin as it hit the one-yard line, and Raby tried to roll in, and he ended up in the end zone. So B&B again will start at their own 15-yard line on the touchback.
Well, Thunder Ridge had a great opportunity there to down the ball at the one. In fact, I think they could have. For some reason, they decided just to tap it. They could have just grabbed the ball and set it down. There was an opportunity there, but still a good punt by Struckoff. Once again, B&B, horrible field position. Every drive has started at their own 15.
B&B in the shotgun and the Wildcat this time again with Hyman. Kind of an inverted wishbone look, actually, from B&B that time with two running backs, and I think they moved a little bit early on the snap. False start for the Falcons. A five-yard penalty puts them back to their own 10 now.
Wide. Yep. I'm sorry, but there's wide offensive line splits. You see this formation? With Hyman and the Wildcat, the offensive linemen are now spread apart. Remember the Texas Tech offense with the spread? Their offensive linemen are basically 3 or 4 feet away from each other. There's a wide gap between every offensive lineman here for B&B.
If you've ever seen Hanover play football, you see this a lot, too, with their offense as well. Hyman again in the Wildcat, shotgun formation, cuts it inside. Dennis had him by the ankles, now getting low to tackle him on this near side with Joel Struckoff. Pickup of six on the play, back out to the 16-yard line for B&B.
That was a good tackle. You got to hit Hyman low. You try to tackle him high, he'll carry you another 10 or 15 yards, because if they don't make that tackle, Cody Hyman is off for a touchdown.
Yeah, 38 yards for Hyman on seven carries. 5:03 to play in the first half. It's 16-6, Thunder Ridge. Staying the Wildcat this time with Hyman. Two running backs in the backfield. There's the snap. Hyman takes it across the 15 to the 17. Yard pickup for Hyman, setting up fourth down for B&B. Apparently they didn't want to take any chances there, and running this Wildcat, that's something that you will run into a little bit.
It's
third down.
Third down.
There's a false start on the first down play.
It's third down.
Third down and eight coming up for B&B.
Dakota Foreman making the tackle, able to shoot through. And once again, when you do have those wider splits, you can hit the gaps as a defensive lineman and really disrupt things offensively.
Third down and a short 8 yards to go here for B&B. Hyman will again, and actually he's back at fullback. Rottinghouse, a tailback under center, sending Hyman in motion to the near side. Rottinghouse retreats, looks to pass. A deep ball over the middle of the field, turning around, intercepted as Herman at the 30-yard line and out to the 32. Austin Herman read it the whole time, getting in front to get the pick, and Thunder Ridge is in business again on offense as they have the ball at their own 32-yard line after the interception by Herman, his seventh of the season.
Austin Herman, what a nice addition for Thunder Ridge. Of course, transfer from Northern Valley. Best player on his team in Northern Valley, but they struggle. Comes over to Thunder Ridge. Of course, he's not the best player on Thunder Ridge, but he is a big addition, and they're glad to have him for the Longhorns. He makes the interception, a very easy interception to make. The ball very underthrown.
4:02 to play first half. Herman with the interception. Thunder Jets first down and 10. Rowe breaking into the open field after the handoff. Has it to the 30, to the 20, to the 15, 10, 5, touchdown. Trevor Rowe with a quick hitter. Busted through the initial wave of defenders and took it all the way for the touchdown. 48 yards for Trevor Rowe. It's 22-6 Longhorns.
Line of scrimmage. The offensive line for Thunder Ridge has been absolutely fantastic. Dylan Coombs, Cade Dennis, Dakota Foreman. You got Coleman and Herman at ends. There was a huge hole, and then Lowe, he's the same. He's similar to Hyman from the standpoint that you can't just put an arm on him. You're going to absolutely have to hit him to bring him down, as we saw in the run earlier for a two-point try, and Lowe did the rest.
Two-point attempt coming up for Thunder Ridge after the 48-yard touchdown run for Trevor Lowe. Leading 22-6, here's the snap and the pitch to Strunkoff. Cuts it around the edge at the 5, has room to the pylon, just in front of the pylon for the two-point conversion, and the two-point attempt is good for Thunder Ridge, and they lead 24-6, 3:53 to play in the first half. Thunder Ridge came to play today, and they're playing very well. Like you said, controlling those lines of scrimmage on offense and defense for the most part, doing what they need to do.
Well, what you have right now, at least what I'm seeing in this contest, is Thunder Ridge has, at the key position, you have Strunkoff with speed, you got Lowe with power. For BNB, you have Hyman, and then you're relying on a sophomore quarterback to make deep throws down the middle of the field, and they're just not there. BNB is trying to force something offensively, passing the ball. The reason why they have to do that is because Thunder Ridge, they're doing a great job of slowing down the BNB running game with Cody Hyman. Dylan Boosting has not been a factor. He has not been able to find any room to roam at all. So if you could slow down Hyman, as we said in the pregame, you force BNB into a passing situation, you dictate the terms, and you got a sophomore quarterback who's trying to make those decisions in the biggest game of his life. He's only started the last two games. You got to like Thunder Ridge's chances, but it starts up front. That offensive line and defensive line, since that very first drive at BNB, it's been all Thunder Ridge.
Thunder Ridge doing a fine job, leading 24-6, 3:53 to play in the first half.
And the Longhorns would go into the locker room with that 24-6 lead at halftime there at Fisher Field in Newton over BNB. And we skip ahead and pick it up with the second half kickoff here on Kitty Country 94 and our state championship rewind.
BNB set to kick off as they had the ball first in the first half. Thunder Ridge back to return on a squib kick. As it rolls towards Strunkoff, he picks it up at about the 8-yard line. The 10, rounding around that corner, has it at the 15 to the 20, has some room on the outside of the midfield stripe, cuts it back inside at the 35, to the 30, to the 20, 10, 5, touchdown. Joel Strunkoff from 72 yards out. There is no yellow on the field. BNB climbs into an even bigger hole with Thunder Ridge leads 30-6 to start the second half.
Couple of great blocks to the perimeter, and one Strunkoff hit the far sideline after he came all the way from really the near side back across to the far side of the field, moving left to right. Once he could turn on the Jets, he just had one man to beat, a little cutback. I think that might have been Tyler Dieters he avoided, and he was off. Got a couple of blocks. Strunkoff did the rest, and we were talking the other day about how Strunkoff doesn't have many kick returns or touchdowns because nobody kicks it to him. He got it there, and he returns it in the state title game.
72 yards, it's 30-6, Thunder Ridge. Raby takes the snap, play action fake, looks to pass, wide open low, two-point conversion good. 32-6 on a little out route on the near side for Trevor Lowe. 11:46 to play in the third quarter. It's Thunder Ridge 32, BNB 6.
Thunder Ridge extended their lead out to 40-6 on a 37-yard touchdown run from Trevor Lowe in the third quarter and a two-point conversion. BNB would score their second touchdown in the third quarter to make it 40-14. And then Thunder Ridge late would take a 46-14 lead on an 8-yard touchdown run from Joel Strunkoff. We skip ahead now to that moment where the Longhorns were crowned champs.
Thunder Ridge is going to take it into victory formation on first down and 10. Blaine Raby will step under center. Takes the snap and takes the knee. 45 seconds to play. Should only need to do this one more time for Thunder Ridge. Depending on, yep, they've got her spotted already. With 34 seconds and counting, they now blow it into play. Raby will step up. Thunder Ridge will be the 2011 state champions in 8-man Division II as Raby takes the last knee. And with 14 seconds, that'll run off the clock. The Thunder Ridge Longhorns are the state champions in 2011 in 8-man Division II, winning today over BNB 46-14. And it was pretty much domination from start to finish for the Thunder Ridge Longhorns as they are piling on each other after winning the state title right here at about the 33-yard line. The Thunder Ridge Longhorns are the champions. And now let's see if they can all get back up off of each other.
I think they can do that.
Yeah, 46-14, the final score. Thunder Ridge wins it.
And we thank everybody for tuning in today on our state championship rewind on Katy Country 94, katycountry94.com on the sports ticket. We remind everybody, if you'd like a CD copy of this game or any of the other games in our archives in the past, you can always give us a call at 545-3220. We'll give you the details on how you can get copies of the game. Stay tuned the rest of the week for more state championship rewind on Katy Country 94 on the sports ticket.